Hey, men of Lifegate, it is so good to be with you starting this new series in February where we're talking about the characteristics of a godly man. Okay, this came about from reading 2 Timothy, where Paul says to Timothy, a man of God is somebody who is competent and equipped for every good work. And that led me to think about what exactly is a man of God? What does a man of God look like? How can we tell a person is a man of God? And there are many different characteristics that we can look at, but I researched and looked into my own spirit, and I'm a very introspective person. So I wanted to know the areas in my life where I have a hard time understanding what makes a good character of a godly man. So with me, I have Pastor Mike Hintz.
What is up, all you men?
And then we also have a special guest, a future man in the house, 10-year-old Lincoln Hall, who is going to add some insight and wisdom to us as well today.
Love it.
Hi.
So the fast is over. Hopefully y'all just didn't dive back into eating junk food and are sick and miserable.
Or hopefully you did.
There you go.
That's what I did. That's what I did. I started off like giant bowls of Lucky Charms.
There you go.
So the first aspect of what it means to be a godly man, to man up and have this characteristic of a godly man, what I wanted to hit is the fear of the Lord. So, Pastor Mike, when we talk about this, first of all, let's kind of talk about what is it that we have a fear of. I know for me, I have a terrible fear of spiders.
Really?
Spiders terrify me.
I did not
know
that. True
story.
This is such good information.
I was going for a run a couple years ago, and I got like three houses away warming up, and there's this huge wolf spider in the sidewalk. So I kind of flinched towards it, trying to scare it away. You guys can't see that, but that's what I did.
You flinched at a spider.
And it didn't even move. It like looked at me and like raised its leg and like pushed me back and away from me.
So true story,
I ran and I got my wife. I said, Aaron, you got to come out here and see this spider. It's the size of my hand. So she grabbed one of my flip-flops. We walked down the sidewalk to where it was. We're probably 10 feet away from the spider, and you could see it. She throws my flip-flop, nails the spider, and I'm able to go for my run. My wife is my hero.
That is awesome.
How about you, Pastor Mike? What kind of things do you fear? If you fear anything, you're kind of a big, burly guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I fear things. I think the biggest thing that I would fear would be that something is going to happen to the people around me that I care about that I won't be there for. When we were first married, I would like imagine scenarios where somebody would come in and kidnap my family, all those things. But I was a cab driver in Minneapolis, and during that training, they trained us to always be on alert for if somebody came into your cab and like wanted to rob you or held you at gunpoint or held you at knife point, like what would you do? Which I don't know why, that just really resonated with me. And so like I learned defensive tactics. So what I found in the years afterwards, they'd be driving down the road and I'm like, okay, if that guy soars over, does like I would think through these scenarios all the time, always preparing myself. And I don't think about it like I live in fear. I more think about it, I live in preparation. But if something like that would happen to the people that I care about,
yes,
or like, you know, just a couple weeks ago, right around the new year, just I got in a car wreck. Mm. And he called me, and just that feeling of not being able to do anything, or when he had brain surgery, and you can't do anything. And I think it's that fear of being powerless that really, really bothers me.
I haven't experienced that with my kids yet. So Lincoln, how about you, a 10-year-old boy? What kind of things fear you?
Oh, first of all, I'm not afraid of spiders.
Let's get to know he can give him a flip-flop.
Yeah, let's get him a flip-flop.
So
we were talking earlier off mic, and we were talking, you saw trafficking up on the board here.
Okay,
yeah. And we were talking about that, and how do you feel about that? We kind of talked a little bit about what trafficking is.
Yeah,
and
it scares me.
It scares you, yeah. So we want to make sure that we're safe, having conversations,
mm-hmm,
keeping a safe distance from strangers. So, yeah. So we're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord, that a godly man, the characteristic of a godly man is a man that has a fear of the Lord. And I think we need to understand kind of clear on what this is. As you were talking earlier off mic, Pastor Mike, it's not a phrase that we use a whole lot in the church. But I think it's one that's necessary for us to have an understanding of as men of God. So when we talk about the fear of the Lord, are we talking about this trembling that this God who's going to call lightning down upon us when we sin and do something wrong? Or are we talking about a Father who is full of love of us and we want to live a life honoring the love of a Father to us? You mentioned the Elijah earlier.
Isaiah.
Isaiah, excuse me.
Yeah, that's okay. Isaiah. No, yeah, if you go to Isaiah chapter 6.
There's
this powerful passage where Isaiah is caught up and he sees the Lord and the train of his robe fills the temple. It's this amazing experience that Isaiah has. And the first thing that Isaiah is conscious of is the fact that he's got sin in his life. And it's this feeling like, I don't belong here. Like, what I'm seeing and who God is holier than I expected. And I have this sense of I'm in the wrong place. I'm like, I've got sin. I am a person of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And so an angel grabs coal off the altar with tongs and puts it on his lips and purifies his lips so that he can just be there. And whenever I think about the fear of the Lord, I can't help but think about this. And it's funny because we often think the God of the Old Testament was a scary God that was full of vengeance and wrath. And the God of the New Testament is this kind, loving Jesus, which is honestly inaccurate. Like, they're the same God. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you have to go, okay, how was he similar? Like, how was he the same across the board? And does God want us to fear him like he's going to smite us in the Old Testament?
No.
And, or, like, is there something else that's meant like that, or with that? And it really caused me just to think in, who is Jesus?
Sure.
But it's still hard. You know, like, I look at Jesus, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. But if I look at my own life, there's been a couple times in my life where I've been around professional football players. And these guys are huge. Like, they're like 6'4", 6'6", 300 pounds. They, like, literally move a mountain, it feels like. And there's this awe and this, like, I don't want to tick that guy off because he could crush me quite easily. And I feel like a little kid around them. And I think there's a friend of mine named Jim Cagle who played for the Eagles, and he's a mountain of a man. And if you know Jim, he's a teddy bear. Like, he is just the softest, most loving guy. But if somebody would threaten his family, I would not want to be on the other side of that. Like, he's also fierce. He could, like, destroy you in a heartbeat. And I thought, that's maybe a better picture of what we're talking about, is God is like someone who's all-powerful, all-knowing, just in every way. So you don't have to fear, like, if you're not being just, he's going to, like, rip into you. But if you aren't just and you're not on his side, he's probably going to work against you because he's still the God who opposes the proud and brings them low. So there is this, like, you want to know that. So there's this weird balance there.
I think in that Isaiah passage, as you were talking, and I was listening to you, as afraid that Isaiah was to be in the presence,
mm-hmm.
there was still a way made for him to be there.
Yeah.
And I think that's just
that's how God works.
The love of God right there.
Yeah.
And when we think of that fear of God that we're supposed to have, it's not that trembling emotion of dread or something bad is going to happen to me.
Yeah.
It's the fear of love, a fear of, I wrote it here, it's the kind of fear that a child has toward a loving father. A great love and a great respect, a great admiration, a great reverence for that person. And and we talk about admiration and respect, to just, when I think of the fear of God, that's what it is to me, is to have a profound emotion that is inside of me that is so grateful.
Yeah.
And I want to live my life honoring that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, I think in my own life, that's how I want to live.
Yeah.
I want to live out of the fear of the Lord and have that wisdom that comes from that, how to live my life each day.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are simply this. It's so good that you point this out because often when we think about God in a misrepresentational way, we feel like he's unpredictable and I'm going to make him mad and I'm not going to know it and then he's going to smite me.
Yes.
And God is so kind that he's like, no, I'm going to like literally let you know how this whole thing works so that you're not unaware. And if you are unaware, I'm going to bring you around like, you know, Isaiah in the story. But I think that the phrase that really sticks out to me, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is to realize when I begin to realize I'm not in control and that somebody else is, now it's not all on me and I have a dependency that I was created to be with. That's where wisdom begins. When I'm not the smartest guy in the room, when I don't have everything figured out, when I'm not the guy that is a self-made man and I realize my dependency is on God, then wisdom has like a seedbed in my life.
Yes. And I think that's one of the characteristics that as men of God that we need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Okay, I committed my life to Jesus. I have this reverential fear, this admiration, this respect, this love for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have to be able, or it's going to take time to get to that point of, it's not all on me.
Yeah.
I have a dad who loves me, who's going to walk beside
me,
who's going to be with me. But then there's the contrast of the fear of God. Solomon also writes that fearing people is a dangerous trap.
Mm.
But trusting the Lord means safety. And that's Proverbs 29:25. So fear of the Lord is an amazing thing. It's the beginning of life, as I like to think of it for me, as a man of God. But we live in this society, this time in our lives, that we often call the cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
We become more afraid of man than we do of God. And we're seeing that play out every day in our world today, where if you don't follow what the world says that you should do, we're going to cancel you.
Yeah.
So as a man of God, how do we ride that balance, that of being in the world, but being fearful of the Lord?
Yeah, I think it comes back to that same, you know, when wisdom begins, when you realize I'm not in control, God is in control. I think the fear of man is our attempt, one way you could look at it, this is not the only way you could look at it, is our attempt to control our own situations. Because if I can please that guy, or if I can please this crowd, then I'll get what I want, which is, we don't think about it this way, but that's what the fear of man is. If I'm not aware of what they're thinking of me, but I can shape or change or alter their perspective, then I'll get what I want. And God is always saying, no, like, I'm everything you want. Like, don't think about pleasing them, think about pleasing me. And I think that's the challenge, because the fear of, I think, a man is, like, and God puts it quite plainly, literally, what can they do to you?
Absolutely.
Like, one person holds the words of life, they hold the words of performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a trap because we think we can control it by our performance and get people manipulate or show a side of ourselves to get what we want them to see about us and to give us whatever we're looking for, the affirmation, the praise, the job, the whatever it is. And God's like, that's gonna lead you down the wrong path because you're trusting your own ability.
I love what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, with prayer and fasting and giving to the needy. Don't be like the hypocrites who, you know, they do it to be recognized by other people, but do it for your Father who is...
Yeah, who's unseen. And
what he sees done in secret is going to reward you.
Yeah.
And when we live out our life like that, I think that solidifies what we mean by fear of the Lord.
Yeah, that's really, really good.
So as we wrap up this talk, this podcast on fear of the Lord... And in your own life, if we get a little bit personal, what has led you to this fear of the Lord?
Wow.
That's a deep question.
It is. Well, it's super easy to answer. Like, when I was a youth pastor and I walked through my moral situation, I was probably, not probably, let me just be transparent. I was in control. Mm-hmm. I could see where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. I could see what I wanted to do. And... There was a lot of pride in me. In fact, probably 2 years before, I was praying, and I knew I had pride, but I didn't know how to get rid of it. I know that sounds weird, but I remember praying, God, I know pride is what took Satan out, and I don't want that to take, I want you to remove it. I want you to do whatever it takes to get this out of my life. And my wife said, I think you should take that prayer back. And she was right. But I didn't. And I felt like when my whole world came crashing down and I felt like, man, I was crushed. And my dreams, my potential of having a family, my marriage, my ministry, all taken away from me. Literally the only thing I had left was God. And I realized I actually never had anything else beside it. You know, like there was nothing, I have God and. Mm-hmm. It was this reality of, you're all I have. And then realizing, you're all I want. And this honor and this reverence and this love for who he is entered into, like being in an agreement with him was the most important thing in my life. And so, mm-hmm. you know, even making the transition back into ministry, like I had a job that was providing fine and we were doing okay. And it was a quantum shift coming back to ministry for me because I had to let go of all of that. And I've had people ask me, like, wasn't that hard? And I'm like, not at all. Like, it was what God wanted. And so if he says go, I've learned, like, hopefully. I mean, it doesn't make it's not easy, but I've learned, man, if I'm going to go where you are, then I would let go of anything because I don't have anything but you. So I think that's probably the time where I realized, you know, if I'm proud, you'll take me down. And like it's so funny. One of the things about the way God relates to people in humility is he doesn't care how you became humble. He just likes you humble. Yes. And if he has to do it, he'll do it. Yes. And it's the kindest thing that he could do because he cared enough about me to pose me, to bring me down, to get my heart at a place where I could see him for who he really is.
I think as I asked you that question and listened to you, I'm so glad you went there. I was hoping you'd go there.
Thanks for the setup.
Thanks for following my lead. I think, and you know my story, just not having family environment mm-hmm. that I felt loved in and always having to be in control of my circumstances. And I think in those moments where I could have trusted God, I trusted myself. Mm-hmm. I often trusted myself mm-hmm. because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
And it led me down paths that were empty, mm-hmm. that were not fulfilling, that caused more struggle
yeah.
in my life. But every time I hit that fork in the road, I felt God nudging me one way.
Yeah.
And it took me many years to get to that point where realizing that, okay, there's a much better way to live my life instead
yeah.
of fear of what can happen,
yeah.
but a fear of God and just trusting in him and his provision and his love as a loving dad
yeah.
to guide me.
That's so good.
So, Lincoln, you have any thoughts that you want to say to talk about fear of the Lord? Anything that you fear? Do you fear, man? I know that you struggle sometimes with fear of friends as opposed to fear of the Lord. So any insight you want to add to that?
No.
Okay.
All right, guys, we love you. Thank you so much for being with us. We hope you have a great evening as we send you off into your table time. We have some great questions for you, like what do you have a fear of? What comes to mind when you hear the phrase fear of the Lord? Hopefully we helped you tonight understand and give some clarity for that. Describe a time in your life where you have feared man more than God. I think that's going to speak to men a whole lot and help and just create a great conversation. And then in your own life, what has led you to have a fear of the Lord? Yeah. We appreciate you guys. We love what you're doing. We pray a blessing over you as you guys are gathering this evening. Any parting words, Pastor Mike?
No, I just think this is such a great place for us to be because I think God is creating men who are uncommon in a time where the world is just a mess and it needs godly men to raise up and say, we're going to be the men God called us to be. So I love it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great evening.
Bye.